Yes, indeed. It is the one, the only, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Chico, we are talking about practice. We got a loaded show for you today. And we want to thank you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors. Oh, if it wasn't for the sponsors, where would we be? Talking about practice is made possible by Downtown Chico Business Association in partnership with the City of Chico, sponsoring the Chico Ice Skating Rink in the City Plaza. November 19th until January 9th, the Chico Ice Rink features ice skating rentals, private and special events, and more adjacent to City Hall and located near 425 diverse businesses. Tickets and rental information at downtownchico.com. You catch me there this Thursday for our date night. Make sure them kids are off the ice because I'm going to be checking them into the boards. All right? You've been warned. Parents, keep the kids at home on Thursday. Your boy's going to be out there Eric Lindrossing these kids, all right? All right, with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, talking about practice starts right now.
So right now, what time is it? It's time. It's game time. It's game time. And you know how I always end it. Now give me my theme music. Yeah.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And of course, we got our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spin it, because you can't take it with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, the Mac Daddy himself. The 18-wheeler, heart stealer. Oh, I guess they're not with us.
Okay.
But we do have...
Well, then.
The Statman, producer extraordinaire, Statman! Brad.
Shalom! A.K.A. the Jewish cowboy. Light your menorahs, spin your dreidels. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. It is time.
Is that right? Is that today?
Today is the start of Hanukkah. Today is the start of the eight crazy nights.
There we go.
Happy Chanukah, everybody.
Underrated movie right there.
Great movie.
Well, I would say Adam Sandler's some great work by him.
That is a good movie.
That's a technical foul.
I'm sorry. If you don't, if you never see that movie, that means nothing to you. But
I'm going
to
get the Linky Legend back on. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem.
That movie, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all right, let's do this. Favorite holiday movies. Give me your top three.
I mean, everyone likes to put Elf in there because it's like, oh, it's a great movie. It is hilarious. It has its moments in time. And who doesn't love Will Ferrell in a comedy? You know, it's a classic. It has earned itself a classic Christmas holiday movie.
Yes.
So that's going to be in there. Let's see. What's another really good one that
Home Alone?
No, I hate Home Alone.
You hate Home Alone. Really? All right, let's talk about it.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Let's break it down.
It's just two.
All of them or just the newer ones?
All of them.
Wow.
Well, wait, the original?
Yeah,
you hate the original?
One, two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your beef?
I don't like the idiocracy that you have to put myself in to believe this happening. There's so much, like disbelief. Like, I'm sorry, this is an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't care how stupid the guys are that are trying to rob the house. It's just, I can't suspend my disbelief that much to find it consumable anymore.
Shout out to the Wet Bandits.
So,
Home Alone doesn't make the list.
No, it's off. I hate that. And not to mention Macaulay Culkin. I know everyone loves to love. I hate that kid.
Okay.
I really did not. I don't like him. So, like, there's no good joy that comes out of that thing. And just, like, the whole premise behind it is blasphemous, bogus. I'm sorry. I can't get behind it.
Okay. Can you give us two more?
Let's see. Die Hard. Die Hard. And no, people hate to say it's not a Christmas movie, but dude, happens around the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. Like, not just it's in Christmas time. So, yes, it's a great one. Die Hard's in there. And then let's see. A Christmas Story. That's my heartfelt one right there. You know?
Very good.
Wait, I just want to make sure I heard it right. You said Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
It is.
It really is. And I've been arguing with people about this for the longest time.
I mean,
they all say
it's
no.
It's an action movie, but the entire
premise is Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas time.
Who said an action movie can't be a Christmas flick? You know what I mean?
That's just being discriminating right there. Don't do that.
Well, before we get into it, we got a ton to talk about today. I did want to mention a big rest in peace to Lee Elder, first black man to ever play at the Masters. And he passed away, I believe he was 87, I want to say. So shouts to Lee Elder, paving the way, knocking down doors, all of that. So shouts to him. Yo, so we have our college football expert joining us from San Francisco, Mr. John Lucan. What is good?
What is up, my brethren?
Yo, yo. So we have not paid enough attention to college football this year.
You haven't.
So we had to bring you on, and we're starting the show with college football. Why? Because go Big Blue!
Go Big Blue!
Go Big Blue!
Go Big
Blue! Go Big Blue! Go Big Blue!
Let's go, Blue.
After 9 years. 9 years it took us.
Two in the last 20.
Two in the last 20. It's not a good percentage.
Wait, us? Aren't you a Texas Longhorns fan?
No, here goes my order of fandom. Number one, Michigan. Number two, Texas. What? Number three, the U. Number four, Chico State. What up, Wildcats?
Top four.
That's a lot of teams, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, none of those places are from an area I'm from, so I jumped around. Now, we have several Michigan fans in the house. I think, and I have a theory why we're all Michigan fans, and you guys tell me your own reasons. But believe it or not, kids, back in the day, there was only several networks that would broadcast football. There wasn't ESPN2, ESPN3, the Ocho. There was no FS1. This is back in the day, and Michigan was always on it, and Michigan was always playing on the Rose Bowl, and I loved the Rose Bowl, and Michigan was always there. So that's why I started my love for Michigan when I was a wee lad.
For me, it was just their helmets.
Their helmets are awesome.
I was a kid watching them. I mean, obviously, seeing them on TV all the time and seeing those helmets consistently week in, week out, I was like, you know what, I'm in. And then I found out their nickname was the Wolverines. And I was like, that's a great name.
For me, it was just I was following my dad. My dad's a Michigan fan, so I was like, all right, well, they're my team now as well. So, I've been following them ever since.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, Michigan finally beats their rival at the Big House. Feels good. Feels good. They beat Ohio State at home to go on.
They beat them like without question.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like this entire game, they took it to them on the offense and defense side of the ball. So props to Michigan. After they lost to Michigan State, you know, it was a tough road, but really lucky that Ohio State kept winning like they were.
Yes.
Those last 3 weeks, and it just put more juice into Michigan for beating Ohio State last week. So
Michigan goes into the weekend ranked number 5, playing Ohio State, who is ranked number 2 at the time. Michigan obviously gets the win. Big shout out to that defensive line. Hutchinson and Ajobo specifically just dominated that defensive line. And then obviously Haskins with five touchdowns.
Five tutties, baby. Five tutties.
Yeah, that defensive line for Michigan. I mean, Michigan, it probably has, you know, next to Georgia, probably the best defense in the country. But that offensive line has not gotten enough credit this year. That offensive line for Michigan is monstrous. There was a play in that Ohio State-Michigan game where Ohio State had ripped the helmet off of a Michigan player after a score.
Nice. Yeah.
And you see these 6'8", you know, defensive tackle, you know, left tackle, right tackle come to his aid. And those guys are scary. You don't want to see those guys in the trenches. So Michigan going forward is kind of a scary team in that playoff.
So let's talk about that. So Michigan plays Iowa for the Big Ten championship. Let's say Michigan loses in a close one. Does Michigan still get a bid to the playoffs, do you think, the college football playoffs this year, John?
I think it's possible. And it really comes down to how the other games transpire. Because this is one of the most exciting weeks coming into college football in over a decade. You have Georgia, obviously, at that number one spot playing for the SEC championship against Alabama, who was number three, dropped down to number four after a shaky win against an unranked Auburn team. So they're at number four. Michigan jumps up to number two, playing 15 Iowa. You have Cincinnati now at number three. So it's interesting. So if Alabama beats Georgia, that's and Michigan loses, that's really, really bad for Michigan, right?
Right.
You really want, if Michigan is going to be on that losing end, there's going to be a lot of things that have to fall into place for Michigan to stay probably at that fourth slot. Because you have Ohio State still at number seven. You have Notre Dame at number six. And the sneaky dark horse that no one's talking about is Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State is a really, really good program. Their defense is also really good. They're number five. So Cincinnati going against Houston. You know, Houston's ranked 16. They're 11-1 this year. Obviously, coming from a small conference, Cincinnati can easily lose that game. So I think Cincinnati needs to win by double digits, kind of convincingly, to remain even at that number four spot. But I think Michigan has a really, really good shot of staying in that top four if they can keep it close with Iowa. Now, again, the spread's 10.5, so
yeah,
I really think Michigan can beat Iowa. But again, Iowa is that one Big Ten team that always seems to upset those big schools.
They're fussy.
they're corn fed, you know.
No doubt,
and that's just
100%.
Yeah, that's all they got out there.
Corn.
And well, they do have one of the best traditions at that halftime wave.
What do you mean?
The Iowa wave.
They have a pediatric center that faces the stadium. So during halftime, the entire stadium waves to the sick kids at the hospital.
Say what you want to say, Derek, because your face.
I'm just like, I don't know. Like, why? That's not the greatest tradition. Like, yeah, it's not heartfelt.
It's not
heartfelt.
The greatest tradition, but it's a pretty cool tradition. Yeah.
Is it after the first half or the first quarter?
I'm pretty sure it's at halftime.
At halftime, okay.
So I did want to talk about, I guess, we kind of covered the playoffs. If OSU wins, they're in probably, right?
Say that again.
If Oklahoma State wins, they're probably in the playoff, don't you think?
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's really interesting because if Alabama loses to Georgia, but it's a close game, you know, 3 points, 7 points, maybe goes into overtime and they lose. I think the committee still gives Alabama the benefit of the doubt because no one's really stayed with Georgia this entire year. So if they lose, it's really depending on how Oklahoma State handles Baylor. They beat them already this year.
Yeah.
But again, it's like Cincinnati. I think they need to have a decisive win against Baylor. But if Cincinnati loses, Oklahoma State with a win is guaranteed in. But it's really up to the committee and how they kind of see Alabama in a loss to Georgia.
You don't think that this Auburn like struggle win is going to hurt them at all in the rankings?
Well, it did. I mean, they were number three going into the weekend, beat Auburn, and now they're at number four. But you know, I think because Auburn was unranked and their starting quarterback, you know, out with an ankle injury, for Auburn to really hold it to them. But again, the Iron Bowl is one of the toughest games in college football. Next to Michigan, Ohio State, that's maybe one of the toughest games to play in college football. So the fact that they got penalized for that's a little uneven for me, but you know, it makes it really interesting for the entire playoff picture. And what's even greater is some of these teams are going to get snubbed that should be in, and it's going to escalate that situation to have a 12-team playoff next year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah,
just leave it where it is.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, stop trying to add more because it'll never be enough.
We're just going to water it down.
I think eight is a great playoff number. You know, you have some
four.
Seven, six ranked teams like that. Ohio State team, they did get beat by Michigan pretty handily, but they are a good team. They deserve to see how far they can run. So eight teams would be, I think, a sweet spot for college football.
I just feel it waters down what is currently the best regular season of all the major sports. You know, because if 12 can get in, you're going to have three lost teams in there. So it takes some of the gravity away from your week-to-week matchups during the regular season. That's neither here nor there. I did want to ask you about this Lincoln Riley leaving OU to go to USC and what you think that does to the Pac-12 as a whole.
This is huge, huge news for the Pac-12. Not only the Pac-12, but for college football as a whole. I mean, we've had big name programs this year that obviously needed, you know, coach filling, obviously Florida being one of them, LSU, Miami seems to be kind of on that cusp of needing a coach. Now Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, that was kind of a shock for me to see him go to the Pac-12, but it's only going to do really great things for the Pac-12. UCLA is kind of on the rise right now with Chip Kelly. You have Oregon. And I think the biggest thing with Lincoln Riley is the recruits in the last 3 days that have decommitted from Oklahoma because of this whole coaching situation for them. Four of the nine that have decommitted are California kids.
Right.
The best one is 2023 recruiting class. He's a five-star quarterback, Malachi Nelson. From Southern California, he's the number one kid in California right now, number three ranked nationally. So I think it's in the cards that USC is about to get really good overnight. And hopefully, I mean, I hate USC being a Texas fan, but seeing the Pac-12 come back to some prominence is a good feeling for the West Coast kids.
No doubt. It definitely, I think it elevates the entire conference. Real quick, before we... Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys heard just this. This just happened about an hour ago, but LSU is finalizing a head coach role for Brian Kelly from Notre Dame.
That was the question I was going to ask you.
Oh, okay. Sorry to cut you off there, but yeah, now we have Notre Dame as an opening, you know, fill slot. So I think you're going to see a lot of shiftiness in the next couple months with coaching and obviously recruits and transfer portals. It's going to get pretty out of control over the summer.
So let the coaching carousel begin. Well, hey, we'll have to have you back on over the next few weeks leading up to the college playoff. Definitely after this coming weekend, the championship weekend, that's going to be awesome. So, Mr. Lucan, we appreciate you, sir.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, man. Anytime. But not anytime. Just
also,
mainly college
football. Wake Forest +3.5. Hammer it.
And that's, you got to take him up on that, kids. John's claim to fame around here is he once went 78% on his college football picks for an entire season. So that's why we have you on. You're still riding that high around here, my friend.
Like that, like Derek says, flashes of brilliance.
All right, brother, we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys.
Later. All right. Oh, I forgot to bring up Tiger Woods with him.
Aw, Tiger's not back.
Well, he's making a comeback, apparently.
He'll be back sparingly.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah, well.
That's all we need from
he's
Tiger.
He's gone now, so we can't talk to him about Tiger Woods. So we'll move on. So, Ed Orgeron, Coach O, coached his last game with LSU, his hometown team. And we were fortunate enough to get Coach O in studio, so let's welcome him now. Coach O, welcome to the show again. Thank you for being with us.
Go Tigers. What's up, y'all? Go Tigers. How we doing, y'all? Go Tigers.
We're doing well. We're doing well, man. So how was it? This was your last game. Obviously, this was a dream job. You won a national championship a few years back. And just a few years after, you are out as the head coach of LSU, of the Tigers. How does it feel?
Oh, it's a tough loss right now, you know, losing the Tigers. But I always have Tigers in my heart, you know. No matter what I say, go Tigers. They'll always be with me. Tiger was through my blood, Tiger's blood. They do some, no matter what, it's tough to leave. But, you know, I want to move on with my life, and it's about that time. And ready to settle down and just watch the Tigers play. No longer coach the Tigers, just watch the Tigers. You know, it's kind of fun to just watch Tigers, not just have to coach the Tigers. Go Tigers.
So what are you going to do now that you have all this free time on your hands?
Well, you know, just talking to people about how great the Tigers are. You know, go around telling how good Tigers are, Tiger Nation, and going to gas stations, telling people go Tigers, and maybe seeing some nice people out there that need to talk about how great the Tigers are. You know, maybe get back into coaching later if the good Lord calls me back, you know. But go Tigers no matter what, first and foremost. God won, Tigers too. But, you know, go Tigers. So maybe Notre Dame, you know, that's a God's calling place right there. Maybe. It's like God won, Tigers too. But right now it's Tigers none. We're at home, and we're done.
Okay. Real quick before you get out of here, I have two questions. What is your favorite Tiger?
It's a Bengal Tiger's a nice tiger. That's a fun tiger to see in action right there. Bengal Tiger. Oh, get you. Bengal Tiger.
Bengal
yeah.
Tiger.
Yeah.
All right. And lastly, the news just dropped that LSU has made their next hire for your old job, and they are taking Brian Kelly to fill your role.
He'll never like Tigers as much as I like Tigers, that's for sure. But I respect him, and hopefully he leads the Tigers into the great promised land of winning and taking down championships, because that's what Tigers need to do. The Tigers are champions, so always go Tigers.
There you have it. Hey, Coach O, thank you for being with us as always. We'll still have to bring you in here from time to time, check up on you, see how life and retirement's going for you.
Most definitely. Appreciate the time, and go Tigers.
Yeah, we got to give a shout-out to Rudy's cousin, Roslyn, who made her way out to Ann Arbor to check out Michigan beat Ohio State.
Oh, lucky.
Dude, yeah,
lucky.
Excuse me. Her and her best friend, Alex, took the red eye out Friday night, got there early Saturday morning, saw the game, rushed the field, which, you know, an epic
legendary.
Over 100,000 people in that stadium, you know?
Yeah.
So after that, they took the red eye back to Cali and caught the Niner Vikings game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a weekend right there.
Yeah, that's like a, yeah, that's.
You can't ask for anything better. Yeah.
I was like, wait, you're at the Niner game too? Like, what the? So, yeah, just being at that game, I can't even imagine that atmosphere, dude.
And you get to rush the field, too.
And rush yeah. the field. Yeah.
Rush wow, the field and awesome. Make time for your flight back.
Right?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
apparently you're wrong with the wrong Vasquez over here.
Yeah. You know? Like, should have Roslyn on.
Yeah, come
you know
on.
What I mean?
She apparently does things out there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good to know.
Should have got
right.
her breakdown of
yeah.
the game. Eyewitness.
Straight up.
First-hand experience.
Yeah, no doubt.
She probably touched someone's butt out there.
Oh, I'm sure
a player's
did.
Butt, for sure.
Yeah, I would have. You
know? Yeah.
No.
I'll grab a helmet, though.
I would have taken a helmet.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm snagging one of those bad boys.
For sure.
Except I don't like when they have the I don't like the stickers on them.
Nope.
I don't
neither.
Like when they do stickers
it's
on them.
It's a Buckeyes thing.
No, that's
yeah.
exactly. It's a Buckeyes
thing.
It's
a Buckeyes
thing.
It's
not ours.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They no. Don't have
Buckeyes
it.
Tradition. Nope. Let them have it.
Our helmets are too clean to cover up. Why
yeah.
would you want to?
Exactly. It's like an Alabama type helmet. You don't ruin that type of it's classic.
It is a classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly think that the Wolverines have the best helmet in the game.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Other teams try to copy it, but the Wings, they mean Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. Maize and blue, baby. Let's stay with football, but let's go over to the professionals because the Niners somehow have managed to not only stay relevant, but if the playoffs started today, they would be in the wild card. And now they are technically in the hunt for the division, which is just insane. If you told me that after that Colts game, that in 3 weeks we would be in a wild card and have a chance at the division, I would have told you to get bleeped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys wrote them off. I was ready to not have to talk about Niners football for a while. I was happy about it.
Too bad, baby.
I was kind of happy, too, but now I'm even more
excited.
Yeah,
you guys were stoked to not have to talk. Yeah. You're like, oh, we're done with the Niners. But no, now here we back in the
Kyle
muck.
Shanahan finally figured it out. If you keep the ball away out of Jimmy G's hands, we
and
might
just
win.
Just give it to Debo.
Just run the damn ball. Yeah,
give it to Debo over and over and over. And unfortunately for us Niners fans, Debo is now out, and so is Fred Warner. Debo is out for at least a week or two. Fred Warner is going to miss this next week, it looks like. And that's where we're at. So, you know, as high as the motion we are riding right now.
Yeah, but it's still looking good, though. George Kittle's healthy. Trent Williams is probably the best tackle in the game right now. And
possibly of all time.
Yeah, he's unreal. His run block is insane. I forgot what he was graded, but
it was a 99. It's the highest of all time.
Since I think the one before that was Joe Thomas with the Browns back in 09.
And Jonathan Ogden as well was right there.
So we're healthy besides a couple key players, but we're back, dude.
It definitely helped that Kirk Cousins lined up underneath the guard and out the center on fourth and goal, down 8,
in
a critical moment in the game.
How can you do that, bro? Like, I mean, it's Kirk Cousins.
It's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it's Kirk.
You like that?
The guard didn't like that. He was like, no man.
Don't touch me there, bro.
My gooch is not for your placement. Okay? Right. Wrong gooch, man. Wrong gooch.
Well, let's talk about your Panthers.
Oh, no.
Is he back or what, bro?
Yeah, I mean, he's back, yeah, I guess, but we're used to.
God damn, that was ugly.
5 for 24, Cam Newton, was it a 4.8 was his rating?
Yeah, something like that.
It was under 5 or something. It was awful. Single digits. The only digit you had was after the decimal plays. So you had 2, actually. There you go. There's your 2 digits.
There you go.
But 5 for 24, we lose Christian McCaffrey.
For the season.
And we lose to the Dolphins, you know? Yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins have been playing well this past month, but still, it's the Dolphins.
I don't know, the Panthers are usually adapt to swimming in water, you know? They should have been able to take down a Dolphin, you know? You think that? Panther versus a Dolphin? I'm taking a Panther every day of the week.
Oh, every single time.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm taking a Dolphin. Dolphins will kill great whites.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah,
they scare them away.
No, they'll go jab them in their gills.
No,
I mean
I know they scare them away. Heard. I know if you see a dolphin, you're safe because there's no sharks around.
Is that a thing?
100%
too. Okay,
but I don't think they're like attacking them. So I don't know. We'll see.
And I mean, there's no gills for these dolphins to punch. You know.
So. It turns out that dolphins indeed do kill great whites from time to time when threatened.
Okay, so not for sport, though. They're not like,
No, they're not out there hunting great whites.
You know, man, I want to get one of great white today. You know, let's get one of those bad boys.
Yeah.
That would be more of an orca's job.
Well, that's why they call the killer whale.
Yeah. They're actually a dolphin. Killer whales are actually dolphins.
Well,
really?
They're the dolphin family.
Yeah, they're in the dolphin family. They're considered a dolphin more than a whale.
Yeah,
they're married. Right.
Well, I'm a Pisces, but I'd rather be a killer whale. moving on. Are the Pats really this good?
I think so. Mac Jones.
I think it
right
came
now.
Down to actually having a good quarterback.
Mackie Mac is out there throwing.
I think it just comes down to the fact that the AFC is poop.
Yes. Does anyone want to win the AFC seriously? Does anyone want to win it? Does like, anyone out there?
Like, I mean, the Bengals just routed the damn Steelers. Steelers are garbage.
Well, six teams are within one game of the number one spot. Let me just say that. Six teams are within one game of the number one spot.
Tennessee lost as well.
About everything you need to know about that.
Right there.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, the top 7 are still vying for that number one spot.
That's pretty intense. That's going to be an interesting end to the season, which makes it interesting, but at the same point in time, you're just getting a lot of crap football, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
can we talk about some people getting slides this year? And what I mean by that is we're not giving them a bunch of crap about playing poorly. And top of that list has got to be Justin Herbert.
He got a nice little slide. Yeah, to start.
So I have him on my fantasy team. He plays really good for 3 games. doesn't do anything for two, and then he'll come back the game after that. So he's never consistent. But when he's on, he's on. But when he's not, he is playing like poop.
Yeah, he's been absolute poopy poop, butt soup as of late. And you never... It's not in the national consciousness when we talk about football that Justin Herbert has not been the golden child we all proclaimed him to be last year.
Yeah, true. I mean, he should be playing more consistent with the team that he has.
Yeah, he's got weapons all over the place.
He has Austin Eckler that has, I'm pretty sure he has the most touchdowns for a running back, receiving and rushing combined. And he has great receivers, too, so, and a good defense.
Yeah.
So the whole team needs to wake up. But yeah, Justin Herbert does need to wake up. Please. Please, bro. Wake up.
Final thing I wanted to mention about this past NFL weekend, which started heavy slate of games on Thursday, most of which were not great games. But the Cowboys
lost. If you're a Raiders fan, you loved it.
Yeah, if you're a Raiders fan, you loved it.
You lived life on Thursday.
But that was the only good game of the afternoon, or the entire day.
I mean, come on. I was giving for the Lions. I thought they had a chance. If the Lions won, it would have been all worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been all worth it.
Yeah.
Giving Dan Campbell a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
But they lost
with
time expiring.
Yes.
In the most lioness of ways possible.
To Andy Dalton.
To the Red Rifle.
Yeah, the Red Rifle, man. Ugh.
All right. Let's talk some quick fantasy. If you're at home right now, you can go ahead and join us. This is Thirsty 30 Seconds of Fantasy, where we just vent about the past weekend and how our squads did. Feel free to join in.
Here we go.
No one cares!
It's unbelievable. Oh,
are you kidding me?
With
Lamar?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Four interceptions! I had a chance in the playoffs. I went all the way from the number 10 spot all the way up towards the number 5 spot. Four interceptions!
Now what? I'm about to be 5.
Four! You're supposed to be this high-end quarterback doing absolutely nothing. Four interceptions. You screwed me.
It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what to do.
Ridiculous fool.
Yep.
Feel better.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm not really feeling better. It's going to kick it out of the playoff, but, you know.
No, it still hurts.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
Rudy. It's occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy.
All right, last week was solid. I went 3 for 3, which was surprisingly good for me this year. So I'm pretty stoked on that, but this week's a new week. I'm going to stay with my boys. I'm going to go with the Niners 2.5 on the road against Seattle. And I'm taking a sleeper, not really sleeper, I'm just going the other way around. I'm going to take Denver. Denver looked good there yesterday against the Chargers. I'm going to take them at +12 against the Chiefs on the road. So... hammer it, boys. Let's go.
There you go. Hey, also, Denver, how about getting Melvin Gordon a touchdown? Thank you. That'd be awesome. God, fantasy football.
It's so annoying.
I don't know why I play. Every year I get to this point in the season and I say to you guys, why do I continue to sign myself up to just give my friends money? 18 years I've won one time.
Mm.
18 years I'm always in the hunt. 18 years I'm always top 3 in points. I've won one time. Once. I've made the playoffs a total of twice in 18 years.
Wow, that's
awesome. Horrid.
Wow.
I have,
yeah,
you might want to reconsider
I have
your
had
life.
The most points in my league 10 of those years with 2 playoff appearances.
Like, that's bad, you can't even say like you're the Buffalo Bills, man.
Yeah.
No.
I don't even know what
just,
to
just stop, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might. Well, yeah. Anyway.
I mean, that's like...
it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's really thinking about right it, dude.
Yeah, like I said, I will be hosting therapy sessions at my house every Wednesday night. Feel free to come over and console me. It usually just consists of me eating ice cream and crying to myself. So
I mean, fantasy football, your fantasies are very awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nightmare.
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 Nightmare football. Nightmare.
So you guys want to stop talking about fantasy? Because no one cares.
Touche.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's talk about how much we love KZFR. Oh, God, KZFR, you are the best.
We love you so much.
We love you.
You are bae. Number one.
Number one in our hearts and minds and souls.
I'll get on the knees for KZFR.
Okay.
Wow, a little aggressive.
And we beg for them to still be on the air, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Pray to the good Lord that they don't crush these airways.
Yes.
Okay?
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And we are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Jero, Derek, Rudy, Statman Brad, we had John on earlier. We got our foreign correspondent, Aaron, joining us shortly. But first, I want to give another shout-out to supporters of the show, our friends over at Digital Path, providing high-speed internet for your home or business. Digital Path offers flexible plans with expanded data and speeds up to 75 megabits per second. Details about Digital Path service at 800-676-PATH. That's 800-676-7284 and at digitalpath.net. I feel better. I feel better. We just needed a quick little reset.
I forgot to do my pick of the week. My bad.
Do you want to do it right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before I forget, Patriots over the Bills on the road Monday night at plus 180.
Plus 180.
Wow. Upset. Against who?
Upset alert.
The Bills.
Okay.
Wham. That's an alarm.
Wow.
Saying upset alert.
Upset, y'all.
Upset alert.
That's upset. Put money down, y'all.
Please.
Bet the house.
Upset alert.
Yeah. You could probably bet your left pinky and get away with that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But not the right one.
No, you're right.
No. Yeah. Too valuable.
And definitely no testicles.
No.
No. No. Gosh, no.
Never that.
Whenever someone's like, I bet my testicle something, like, what's wrong with you, bro? Like,
what a little aggressive.
I bet my testicle that I wouldn't bet my testicle. Boom.
Never.
What are you going to do with
that? Well, you just bet your testicle, so therefore you lost yours.
You'll never bet his testicles, though, so he'll never use them.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, but you bet him to not bet him, but you bet him anyways.
Hmm. All right. It's time for everyone's
Gotcha.
It's time to get caught up on the news going on around the world with our man Derek Kisumaki in
the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Kisumaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, got a couple of good stories for y'all. Some that... This one is an interesting story that comes out of our good old friends of Germany. Where they have in certain areas euthanasia clinics. Now, you know what euthanasia is, y'all, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, in these euthanasia clinics, though, if you want to admit yourself, you have to be vaccinated. So if you want to euthanize yourself in Germany.
But wait. Yeah.
You have to be vaccinated.
Wow.
Yeah. Against COVID. That's what I'm talking about, obviously.
Yeah,
we're talking about right now. That vaccine.
What?
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now.
That is just so weird.
A little interesting right there. I guess they'd want to make sure whenever they kill you.
That it doesn't stick around or hover around or give the person that, you know, give the staff COVID, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Or give the people that are dying next to you not COVID, but they're going to be dead anyways.
That's the idea, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. That's stupid.
So, yeah. Guys, if you want to sign yourself up to just end it all right now, make sure you just get vaccinated first, you know? Yeah, that's all we're asking for, you know?
Damn.
Dedicate your life to it all, completely.
They're like, oh, shit.
They just want to get those numbers up, you know? Make sure everybody gets it.
Yeah, they're probably like, oh, I guess I can't kill myself if they wait the whole month, you know, for the 2 weeks or 3 weeks in between time.
Right? That could be a problem, yeah. All right.
I came into the wrong part of this conversation.
Yeah, a little bit. It's all good, though. We're moving into a good spot right now because we got to help our neighbors to the north right now. They are hitting a terrible situation right now. Canada is facing a near catastrophic event as they are running low on maple syrup.
There's no way.
No.
They are having to tap into their reserves.
What?
Maple syrup reserve.
Produce that liquid gold that flows from that country.
Are you kidding me?
Now, that's Quebec unreal. Produces nearly 70% of the world's maple syrup. 70% comes from one area. That's insane.
That's a lot of syrup.
There's a reason why it's on their flag, I guess. My goodness, that maple leaf. But yeah, they are releasing 50 million pounds of its strategic maple syrup reserves.
Holy cow.
It's over about half its stockpile.
Is that like a vintage glass, though?
Right? You know, that's probably the good stuff.
Yeah,
the age right there.
Yeah, the maple syrup reserve.
Yeah.
So that is what's happening right now over in our friends to the north right now.
So I guess we have to stock up before the price goes up.
Honestly, man.
Yeah. Vermont, step it up.
Are you guys a pure maple syrup fan? I don't ever be like a maple syrup. I like my processed syrup.
I'm down with processed.
I like processed syrup, too.
I really enjoy a good maple syrup when it's around. And I prefer, like, if it's maple, I want, like, the real stuff. Okay. Either it's from Vermont or it's from Canada.
All right, y'all are going to hate this, but I was recently introduced to sugar-free syrup.
What? Not that bad.
Really?
There's a thing.
I'm old.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I'm old.
Huh. All right. It doesn't even coexist.
Yeah. I'm sorry for even bringing
it
up.
Like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Maple, like sugar-free.
It's like sugar-free cotton candy type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so
true.
It doesn't make any. It's like made from sugar. Yeah. Isn't it? I don't know. I don't know what the process of syrup is.
Is it like no added sugar to the syrup?
That's like saying Mexico is going to run out of rice and beans. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Ooh. Yeah. That's It's kind of scary.
That is scary.
Yeah, but that's
scary to me. I'm not even Canadian. You
know? Again, crazy to think that one area, Quebec, the state. I don't know. They're called states up there. I don't know if they're called
provinces.
The province of Quebec produces 70% of that.
Just that one province.
Just that one province. Jeez. Of the world's maple syrup.
Where is Quebec in the east?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
By Toronto, I believe.
Okay, so that's Vermont area. Okay.
That exactly, right in that whole area.
All right.
So, I guess if you guys have there are no maple trees out here, right? Like, they're all up there. Right?
They're all up in that eastern board.
I have no idea. Maybe.
I guess they can't survive out here, which is unfortunate.
Hmm.
I guess it'd be kind of cool to have your own tap of syrup
maple.
In the back.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I don't know how good it would be with this climate, but, you know.
Yeah, it'd probably be awful, actually. They'd burn down, actually. That's what happens.
It'll get so dry that we'll die and burn. Boom.
Yeah.
Start another forest fire.
That's what we need right now. I'll stop now, guys.
You want a couple fun facts about Quebec?
Sure.
Yeah.
Poutine originated in Quebec.
Hey, thank you. Oh, yeah, okay. Good.
As many of you might know, Quebec is a French-speaking province.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded in 1608. The famous hotel there, the Chateau Frontenac, that's not how you say it. Frontenac? The Chateau Frontenac Hotel holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most photographed hotel in the world.
Wow.
Really?
And, fun fact, they produce a lot of maple syrup.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We didn't know that already.
All right. Well,
that's the news, y'all. The news!
All right. Appreciate it, as always. Good stuff, sir. Now we bring on our foreign correspondent to class up the show a little bit, Aaron. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
It's going fantastic around here. So you watched the match for us this past weekend. Catch us up on all we missed or didn't miss.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I cannot overstate how much I really enjoy watching it. But it was not the most exciting one we've seen, especially after that last one in Montana with those, like, crazy views and wild holes. Brooks Koepka went up on hole number two, and that was it. There was nothing Bryson could do to catch him. Originally, it was only supposed to be 12 holes, which I thought was kind of odd. It only ended up going 9. By hole eight, Brooks was up by four. Nine, he putts it for a birdie to win it all. A little bit disappointing. Not the competition we were thinking or were hoping, but I loved it. I really enjoy it.
Now, Bryson DeChambeau is not an entertainer. He plays in an entertaining fashion, but his personality is not very, very entertaining. Was that something that came across during the match, or do I have him pegged wrong?
No, I think you're right. And I think the hard part, too, is that, you know, there wasn't a lot of trash talk. They genuinely don't like each other. And so there wasn't much trash talk happening. There was, like, a little bit here and there. There was a solid eye roll by Brooks Koepka at one point, which was hilarious. But, yeah, Bryson's kind of got the personality of a, like, a mango. Just not that great. He tried, and there was a funny moment where Phil was breaking down the shot and, you know, telling us what was going through Bryson's head. And Bryson goes, "Hey, Phil, I'm just waiting on you, man." So, you know, it got a chuckle, but, yeah, he's kind of a dud of a dude.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who wears that hat can't be taken all that serious, am I right?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Do we have the next the match scheduled yet?
I don't think so, and I hope that they learn from this. The commentary from Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson is, like, bar none. Charles is so funny. He definitely says things that are hilarious. At one point, he made a comment that yoga is just stretching, and that's why they can charge you more, because they call it yoga. So they need to keep him. He's hilarious. Phil is great because he breaks it all down. So I think he should either be part of the next match or at least a commentator. Also, I think Tony Romo, I know nobody's asking me, but Tony Romo would be a lot of fun to watch as one of the celeb extras.
So who's your dream matchup then?
Yeah, so definitely Tony Romo and Phil Mickelson, because, like I said, Phil's commentary, I love to hear, like, what they're thinking, when they're going to take, you know, the ball pulls and blah, and I find it fascinating. Tony Romo is also, he's not just, like, you know, he was a decent football player, but he's a pretty good golfer, and he's a great commentator as well. So I think it would be a lot of fun to see him. And I really enjoyed seeing Tom Brady. I think Tom is, you know, really loosens up when he's out there. And who would be another great man? Who? Phil?
What about Steph? Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Steph would be great, too. Absolutely. When he was out there, that was a lot of fun to watch, especially because they're good. And he does the trash talk really, really well. I was thinking as far as pro golfers go, but yeah, I'd love to see Steph again. I think there really is endless numbers, and you've just kind of got to get the right combination. I think they realized, like, that wasn't the way to go, even though there was so much hype going into it.
You should put in John Daly for it, you know, bring that guy in. That'd be fun.
That would be
fun. 100%. John Daly and Barkley.
Only if he's allowed to smoke cigarettes at every hole.
I'm pretty sure that'd be the only reason why he'd get
and drink.
Have a flask exactly. with him.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, speaking Absolutely. Of drinking and golf, we got to give a shout out yes. to our man Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Learn a little tidbit of knowledge on when you, if you watch that match. They are the reasons why they are bed carts out there. So those guys are legends and deserve a place on Mount Rushmore just for that fee alone. Okay?
Agreed.
We appreciate them.
Yes.
All right, Aaron. Well, as always, we appreciate it. You class up the show. You make us better people around here. And we will catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
Later. All right. That was our foreign correspondents. Jesus.
Our foreign correspondent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here we go. Tongue twisters. Oh, boy. It's a long one right now.
The fact that I had to recover that says a lot.
Does it?
Yeah. Don't talk very well.
Yeah, well,
he's got himself all dressed up.
Or I right talk now. Too much.
He's super dressed up right now, and he just feels like he's, you know, trying to be all proper. Something.
He's feeling himself yeah, a little bit. Really
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad's got.
Yeah.
He's shining right now, man. He's glowing. He's glowing.
I'm moving up in the world of my attire now.
There you go.
I'm owning it.
Yeah.
I'm owning it.
Good for you, man.
Okay.
Hey, dress well, play well.
Exactly. Look good, feel good.
Play good.
Look good, feel good. Play good.
Get paid
how's
good.
How's it going, dude?
Hoping.
Or nothing.
Just for the job you want, man.
Yeah, not the one you have.
Looks like you're a youth pastor.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Nice.
All right, we got to put that on the poll when we get off the show. Does Brad look like a youth pastor? Yes. Or yes.
And, I got my youth pastor likes winter beanie too.
Oh my God. Please put it on. Please put it on. Hold on. I know this is an audio medium. Oh yeah, you do. Oh my God. Is that a fleece? Are you wearing a fleece? Oh my God. Yes.
This is the
This is
the youth pastor winter retreat.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Oh man.
Oh my God. This is amazing.
No more orange. Shorts and
purple. No more basketball shorts. Yeah. None of that anymore.
And no more flip flops.
Yeah, no more flip flops. I'm going with that. No more flip flops to the studio anymore. I've got some nice shoes that I bought and I'm excited for. So I'm gonna start wearing them.
There you go.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Damn straight.
Love it.
You might come up teach good, place, but you're gonna look real good doing it.
Yeah. Well, teach good, preach good.
Oh, man. Let's talk some hoops for a second, shall we?
We shall.
I'm just saying that because the Lakers are playing horrible and we're barely beating the worst teams in the league. But hey.
Well, then can we talk about one of the best matchups coming up tomorrow? Suns versus the Warriors in Phoenix.
Yep.
That is going to be an absolute juggernaut of a matchup. They've been going off, what is it, 15 straight for the Suns, I believe.
Is it that many? I thought it was 13 straight.
No, I think it's more than that. Yeah.
It's more than that?
It's 16 straight?
Yeah.
16, no. Man,
yeah.
Okay.
They're rolling right now. And the Warriors have the best record in the league? Or something?
They have the best record in the league right now.
Is it the Suns right behind them?
So it's 16 for the Suns, and then the Warriors have a 7-game win streak on the line right now.
And it's 19-2 versus 18-3?
18-2 versus 17-3.
Thank you.
It's a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
I actually might pay attention to that one.
Yeah.
Should be. We're a quarter way through the season, so the Warriors are really going to get tested this week. They play their next two games are in Phoenix. Tuesday and Friday. So we could see a shift at the top if Phoenix takes a couple games here at home.
And then Klay Thompson's joining the G League in Santa Cruz, too.
Klay Thompson, James Wiseman going down
and
to the G League to get some run. The first ever super team at the G League level.
8-3-1, baby. Is
Angela Ball going to join them, too?
Oh, God.
Apparently a G League superstar already there.
Well, he's not even getting any run, but he's getting advertised, which is great for him.
You know what? Gotta love LeVar.
No doubt.
He is the best dad ever, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? 100%.
He's like, you kids want to play in the bigs?
I'm going to talk your way into it.
Yep.
I do want to talk about what the Warriors are doing right now. Just because what they're doing is pretty unheard of. They had two really rough seasons, obviously just injury riddled with missing Klay for almost basically all of the last two seasons. Missed Steph for a lot of that as well. And then you have, you know, you get James Wiseman in the draft, and he played okay, then got injured, probably got thrust into that role, and then they just retooled. They brought back Andre Iguodala. Draymond's looking like the defensive player of the year. Him and Giannis are going to be vying for that when the year is up if he stays at this rate. But it's really what's so impressive. Obviously, Steph is just playing at an MVP level and just is on a whole nother level right now. And we'll talk about him giving a tech to the refs, which was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. But I just wanted to talk about how they really filled out that roster because it's unique. Rarely ever do you have a team that keeps its core of a championship roster still in place while getting younger and remaining relevant. And these younger pieces, like a Juan Toscano-Anderson, like a Damian Lee, like a Jordan Poole, have really found their role over the last few years and are fitting in well with the squad. And then you got someone like Jonathan Kuminga that you could just throw in there, a number 7 pick in garbage time, who isn't asked to do a lot and is just playing a role and looks great. And I was kind of disappointed that we didn't go Franz Wagner with that pick. And Franz Wagner is balling out for the Magic, and I think he would have fit in perfect, especially, you know, Michigan alum. Shout out Big Blue. But this team just it's really interesting how they were able to bounce back, and Clay hasn't even rejoined the team yet. Number one defense by a lot in the league right now, and just tearing it up. So obviously for your boy over here, as a longtime Warriors fan, this has been a lot of fun. I contend this is the most fun team we've had to root for in a long time. And, yeah, it's just been a blast. But I did want to talk about, I was watching the game, flipping between the Warriors and Warriors versus Clippers yesterday and the Niners Vikings. And I caught that tech that got thrown at Steph Curry. And I can't believe he didn't get ejected the way he went at the ref. He went right at the ref, yelling at him. I don't remember ever seeing Steph that mad. And then just absolutely scorched the Clippers after that. It was a close game up until that tech, and then Steph was like, nah, I'm going to take it over. Then hits a falling away three and gives the refs a tech. I've never seen a player do that. And if it was anyone besides Steph in the league, they're getting ejected at that point. But it's Steph, and he's cute, and he's a family man, and everyone loves him, so he gets to stay in the game, which is just so funny because Steph is one of the, if not the cockiest NBA player, but he's so adorable. No one gives him, he doesn't get a bad rap. So I love that tech that he threw to the refs. I did want to talk about something super serious, all right? Jokic is back in Miami tonight. And he brought his brothers with him.
Oh.
Now, for those of you who don't remember, Jokic got a hard foul from Markieff Morris earlier in the season and retaliated by blindsiding him with all 300 pounds of his body and just chucking him to the floor, causing some level of whiplash. And Markieff Morris, by all means, bad dude, tough guy, missed several games after that. So it's not like it was a light push. He got him. Yeah. And so he's in Miami tonight. I haven't seen any major headlines come across my way that say that there's anyone's been bodied yet. But his brothers are going. And if you've seen his brothers, they're terrified.
Yeah.
Imagine Jokic, but meaner with tattoos.
And a little bit more yoked.
They're Serbian, bruh. Serbians don't play around.
They've been in civil wars for like their entire life.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
Yeah. They probably killed people.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean,
like with their bare
allegedly,
hands.
But
yeah.
Yes.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah.
They're for sure, like, you know.
Recklessly speculating, but yeah, probably
yes.
Murdered.
Yeah. No doubt.
If you've seen them, they look like they've murdered
like anti-terrorist
folks.
Squad or something like that.
Yes.
You know?
They do not look like friendly dudes. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. I'll definitely be checking to see if anyone got murdered. But to this point, it doesn't look like anyone has. And last thing I want to say is, as much we give CP3 a hard time around here, my man has been balling. And the Suns, yeah, he's,
well,
I guess,
he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He wins in the regular season.
He's a facilitator.
He'll lose
fair
in
enough.
The playoffs.
Yes. Fair enough.
You know, he won't.
He's not going to do anything in the
he'll
playoffs.
Never, I mean, he got so close last year. That was, I think, yeah. That's the closest he's going to get. And now he's got the Warriors to contend with, too. Yeah, sorry, bud. Your time's done.
Fair enough.
Sorry,
do you want to do Hall of Fame, or do you want to talk a little baseball?
We got to talk baseball, man.
Right,
it's been crazy what's been happening,
all right.
Man. Yeah,
so Scherzer, your boy, that would the Dodgers give up for him again?
Everyone. No, not everyone. They gave up a lot of prospects.
We gave up a couple of our pitching prospects. One of our, yeah. So nothing, wasn't a whole lot to get the guy.
Okay.
We didn't give up a farm.
But you got him for a year.
We got him for half a year.
Half a year.
Half
yeah.
a year.
You got him at the deadline.
So the Dodgers got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. The Nationals got Kybert Ruiz, the Dodgers number one prospect in the pipeline. Josiah Gray.
Who's a catcher who you know.
Josiah Gray is, Ruiz is the catcher. Josiah Gray is a pitcher. Gerardo Carrillo, he's a right-handed pitcher as well, and outfielder Donovan Casey. I mean, you had some good ranked prospects coming up, the number one, number two, and number 17. But again, they're prospects. It's hit and miss whether or not they're going to be good. Exactly.
And we got Trey Turner in that trade as well, which we still have Trey Turner. So Trey Turner is still a Dodger.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. And he played well for you guys.
He did, see. Yes.
Balled out, dude. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, thought he was going to a World Series champion.
Yep.
And he left one. Didn't end up.
Well, yeah. Well, they didn't do anything. Washington, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. So
yeah.
That's true.
He got into the chance to go to the
the final, the NLCS.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah. All right.
So worth it.
Seager is going to the Rangers.
Big deal signed for Seager, 10 years, 325 or something.
Unbelievable he got that much money.
Paid out, dude.
These contracts are getting so ridiculous.
Well, Scherzer went to the Mets for 3 years, $130 million.
Yeah.
So dude is now the highest paid on average player a year, over $43 million a year for a pitcher who is going
to
be
38
next
season.
Year, mm-hmm. next season. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a... That's a lot of money for the guy.
Yeah, but he still has it, though.
He still has it, yeah, no doubt. I mean, granted, he didn't pitch his last game of the season because he had fatigue. So, you know, it's not a good sign, but at the same point, he's still a Hall of Fame pitcher. And that joins a future Hall of Famer in Jacob DeGrom and a roster that has been filled out rather heavily. From the Mets. The Mets have been spending like crazy. Who else did they get? They picked up Sterling Marte.
Yep.
Marte, that's right. Yep.
From the A.
They shipped out Noah Syndergaard.
He went down to the Angels.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You've been shockingly quiet. We're talking baseball. Are you okay?
Well, I'm just letting you guys talk. I mean, you're talking about his Dodgers and Scherzer.
Yeah.
But the one thing I was going to say is Corey Seager got way overpaid. You're looking at his stats and... It doesn't deserve more than 15, maybe even $10 million a year.
I'm glad we're not paying him.
It was good that you guys aren't paying him. Yeah. I kind of wish you guys were because I would like to see you guys bundled up in that contract. But, the Giants are going to be quiet this year. I mean, they've signed a few.
You lost Gossman.